Is anyone here for the first time this morning? If you could give me a wave, I don't want you to stand up. It's so awesome to see all you guys, you know. It's a real blessing and a joy to be able to bring a word to some of you guys this morning. It's so exciting that we got some baptisms this morning as well. It's a real party this morning. I just want to give honor. The Bible says to give honor. I just want to honor my wife. She always tells me off for this. My wife is fantastic. She's my biggest rock. She just blesses me and allows me just to work for God as much as God asks me to do. So, Emma, I love you. I think you're fantastic. I appreciate you so much. I just want to honor my She'll tell me off for that later. This Wednesday, I'm not going away for 2 weeks, so if anyone wants to invite around for food and stuff like that, I'm sure she'd appreciate that as well. I just want to honor my pastors as well, Pastor Nev and Pastor Jackie. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak this morning. It's a real joy and honor to work alongside you, and fantastic, you are my parents as well. So if you guys who don't know me, my name's James Hollins, and I just got 15 or so minutes just to bring a short word this morning, because we're going to hear some awesome testimonies of everyone who are getting baptized later on. So I was thinking, there's going to be some visitors here, probably people who have never been to church before or who come not very regularly at all, and obviously there's going to be people who come every single Sunday. So I thought, I want to bring a message, and a short one at that, on a story which probably, whether you've been to church once or 1,000 times, you may have heard, which is why I wanted to bring a short message on David and Goliath, which, like I say, I'm sure we've all heard. Just a quick question. Anyone got any idea how long this water has been here? Because I'm thirsty, but there's always a glass here, and I never see anyone drinking it. Am I going to risk it? Bit dusty, man, so I'm thinking it might have been there a little while. So let's study the Word of God. So we're going to read quickly from 1 Samuel 16. Whoa, it's all fitted on there, which is pretty awesome. And we're going to read 1 Samuel 16, verses 1 to 13. I'm going to get 2 points, and then we're going to look a bit more, 1 point, and then we're going to have some fun. So, the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They said, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stand here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by. But Samuel said, nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers, and from that day the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. So I want to talk to you this morning on one of my heroes. One of my heroes is Steven Gerrard, the excellent Liverpool and England international player. I could speak on him for hours and hours and hours about the fantastic goals he scores and how amazing he is. But I want to talk to you one of my biblical heroes this morning. And that person, as you can probably guess through the picture and through the message we've just read, is King David. He's one of my heroes for so many reasons. But one of the main reasons he is my hero is because he did awesome things for God and yet continually made mistakes. And I don't know about you, but that feels a bit like me sometimes. You know, you have this awesome time together, and then you do something silly. And we all know, or some of us will know, that King David was known as a man after God's own heart, and yet he continually made lots of mistakes. So in some ways, that gives me great encouragement that God can still use me even when we make mistakes. I want to go through a few points, three altogether, of which I believe that if we were to implement them into our lives could and would be better. Now, we've just read 13 verses of the Word of God. I'm just going to quickly paraphrase it, and then we're going to go from there to make it a bit easier to understand, possibly. So, God rejected Saul as king and told Samuel to go and see Jesse. God had chosen one of Jesse's sons to be king. Samuel was scared and thought Saul would kill him. Samuel was going to sacrifice a heifer at a big party, and at that party he was going to anoint the future king. God said to Samuel, "I don't, as God, don't judge on the outward appearance, I look at the heart." All the brothers that Jesse brought to Samuel weren't adequate. So Samuel asks if there's another one. There is. His name was David. He was tending some sheep. David comes and is anointed as king. David had seven brothers, and he was the youngest. I get from this story, or from these verses, that David probably was overlooked. Anyone in this room here ever felt or feel overlooked? I'm sure if we were honest, my little sister put her hand up, so one out of 250 people do, but I'm sure if we were all honest with our hearts and honest with ourselves, we would probably all at some point in our life have felt overlooked. It might have been at school when you're in the sports teams at PE and you absolutely dread it because you know you're the last to get picked or they can't see you and you just feel left out and overlooked. Or maybe at work when you feel like you've been working your backside off and that promotion goes to someone who in your eyes isn't working hard enough. You feel that you are the best candidate for these situations, but often you get overlooked. David, in this story, was so overlooked, he didn't even get an invite to the party. Samuel said, "I want to see all your sons," and Jesse didn't even bother, by the sounds of it, inviting him. So I get a feeling that David would have been overlooked. He was still in the fields looking after the sheep. Now, I've been overlooked in areas in my life as well, or when I feel that I've been overlooked. And it's hard. It is tough. You get annoyed. But God will never overlook you. My first point is that men can sometimes and will overlook you when it comes to the job or when it comes, like I say, to the sports teams or when it comes to a night out with your friends and you don't get that invite. But God will never overlook you. We all know how it feels. The example for me was when I was getting a bit older, I was like, used to be the best player in the football team, you know, it's like, yeah, Jackie boy, he was captain, he was the best. And then suddenly I hit about 27, 28 and my fitness went and my attitude went and I wasn't quite the guaranteed captain for the team. And I would be put on the bench and that just being overlooked, something like that really hurt me. But God will never overlook you. God had a plan, and that plan was that King David was going, or David at the time, was going to be king. Whatever happened, the father didn't even invite him to the party, but God did not overlook him, and God's plan was that he would be king, and he was. Guys, it's a great principle we can use in our everyday life as well. Don't overlook people. Don't judge people on their outward appearance. God doesn't overlook people. When we have a plan in our lives, believe for it to happen, and it will. Second point, God looks at the heart and not the outside appearance. One of the perfect examples I like to think, is this wonderful person here. We probably all remember the show on Britain's Got Talent when we saw this wonderful lady walking up and saying, I can't even remember, actually, it's not, but walking up to the stage and everyone was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be awful. Unless, of course, you'd heard the sob story beforehand, and then you know when there's a sob story, it's going to be good. But if you hadn't heard that sob story, you would have seen this lady walk up, and they were all just laughing about her, like, oh my gosh, this is going to be terrible. And when she opened her mouth, the most amazing voice came out. Because as people, often we judge on the outward appearance, not on the inside appearance. You know, if I was up here wearing my rude boy cap and a hoodie with it over my hat as well, you guys might not take me as serious because you would judge on the outward appearance. But God gives this wonderful principle and example here of focus on the heart, not on the outside. And that's exactly what he did with David. David wasn't a big guy. David wasn't muscly. But God had a plan for David to be king, and he looked at the heart and saw that David would do amazing things for God and not on the outside. Never judge a book by its cover. Always focus on the gold and the positive in people. Before I was a Christian, I used to be a bit of a party boy and like doing all sorts of crazy stuff. And when I first started coming into the church, people would still think that I was always like that still. They hadn't noticed my heart had changed, even though on the outside I looked exactly the same, apart from a few gray hairs here and there. But God looks at the heart. God focuses on the gold. And this is how we have to live our lives as well. Look at the heart and focus on the gold. A great example, I have the joy of, on a Monday, I work for Smallwood, which is a landscaping company. So every Monday, I work for Smallwood. Previous to that, I used to work full-time with them. And when Dan and I, my cousin, we would turn up to cut down some trees or to lay a patio or something like that. And we would both be about 21, 22. And we would turn up onto site, and the people would open the door and almost go, huh? Two 21-year-olds with caps who can't talk very good English. But then we would do a fantastic job, and their whole attitude would change because they automatically judged on the outside of what we looked like and how we spoke rather than giving us the chance of proving that we could do a great job. Now, I am blessed to have an awesome cell group. For some of you guys who maybe haven't been to this church before, a cell group is a group of people who meet once a week during the week to pray, have some fun, and just get to know God a bit better. Now, if I was to look at my cell group with the eyes of man on the outside, I probably would never turn up on a Tuesday evening. I mean, they're all great guys, don't get me wrong. They are all fantastic, and it's a blessing, and I can see them now, and I just puts a smile on my face when I see them. But I know their hearts, and their hearts for Jesus, and their hearts to see this town changed. And when I focus on that, it is a joy every Tuesday evening to spend an hour or two with these young men. As men and women, we need to focus on the heart. We need to look at what God looks at, not on what men and women look at. My wonderful cousin, Edward Thomas, keeps texting me, and it keeps coming up on my phone, so I am... 14 minutes ago, actually, you texted me. Maybe you sent me to hurry up. So it keeps going to my phone. So I apologize if I look slightly distracted. So, it's my timer for people who are asking me to turn my phone off. So, after reading those 13 verses, we could get lots of points out of it. But the two main points I want to get out of those first 13 verses is that we need to always focus on the gold. God will never overlook you. Focus on the gold and go to achieve amazing things. But the story of David continues into 1 Samuel 17. Again, for time's sake, I'm just going to paraphrase because those first 13 verses are now all my cellar texting me just to let you know. And so maybe I should just put this down here for 5 minutes so that I don't continually get these texts coming through, which I'm sure is very honouring, and they're going to say how awesome and fantastic I am, and probably they're not going to turn up this Tuesday because of what I've just said. So, 1 Samuel 17, we're going to paraphrase for time's sake. The Israelites under King Saul faced the Philistines near the valley of Elah. There was a great Philistine called Goliath. There's this great Philistine called Goliath, and he sent out a challenge every day to the Israelites to send their own champion to try to give him a fight. Goliath would regularly stand opposite the Israelite camp and shout insults concerning King Saul and the Israelites. But neither the soldiers nor King Saul had the courage to face the Philistines. David told Saul he was prepared to face Goliath alone. Saul tried to fit him with the armor, but none of the armor was small enough. David decided to fight the giant without armor. He picks 5 stones from a nearby brook, and David struck Goliath in the forehead with a stone from a sling, and Goliath fell dead. David then took Goliath's sword and beheaded him, and the Philistines fled in terror. Saul asked about who this amazing man was, and they were told it was David, the son of Jesse. With God on our side, we can achieve all things. God has changed my life. 10 years ago, if you were to say James Hollins would be stood here, I would have said, not in a million years. God can change everything. Now, if we look at this logically, it can only have been God who used David to defeat Goliath. I was looking online this week at work, and I found out that Goliath was reckoned to be 9'9" tall, and the weight he was carrying in his armor was 125 pounds. So putting 2 and 2 together, he was going to be a big, strong man. David was a lot smaller. And back in the days of David, they reckoned that the average height of a man was just over 5 foot. And so they reckoned that Goliath would have been virtually double the height of him and massive and strong. But when you're anointed by God, you can do all things. Now, I was trying to think of something which might be a bit similar. And it was a bit like Vladimir Klitschko, you know, the big, I think he's Ukrainian boxer, fighting me. You know, and I think that is probably quite a good example of Goliath versus David. That was a picture to prove to my wife that after prayer on a Tuesday, I do go to the gym. I don't just sit and have a coffee with some friends. But I, if we're using this example here, would have had no chance in beating Klitschko in a fight. But when God anoints you, you can do all things. There's not a single thing you can't do. David got a sling and a pebble. Just imagine Goliath. He must have just been laughing like, what are you doing, you crazy man? I've got all these swords and whatnot, and you've got a pebble and a sling, and we're going to fight each other like this. But when God's on your team, the amazing happens. So he got that pebble, hit him straight in the forehead, dropped down dead. Because God was on his side. Not because of David's physical strength. Not at all. Because there wasn't any compared to Goliath. Not because of his skill, but because God had anointed him. We can do all things through God. Jesus can and will set our lives on fire for him and set us free from all things. Now, we can see this Goliath as many things in our life. It could be depression. It can sometimes be lack of finances. It can sometimes be sickness. It can sometimes be illness. But with God on our side, we can overcome these situations. You know, many years ago, about 7, 8 years ago, I had glandular fever, and I was ill for about 6, 7 weeks. And I remember Matt Elphick, the Lord used his prayers. He prayed for me, and the next day I was totally free from glandular fever. Because I know that through God, all things are possible. We were talking about giving earlier. And I remember we were at a conference in June. And Emma and I felt the Lord say, give some money we couldn't afford. And it's like, oh man, now we really do get to see if what God says is true, that when you give, he will bless you and bless you abundantly. So we gave money we couldn't afford. Then within 4 days, some wonderful people offered to pay for our flights and accommodation for a holiday in Crete. Because God blesses, he anoints us, and he can do all things through us. So my first point, God never overlooks anyone. There may be people in this room, even now, who sometimes feel like they may be overlooked by God. He's not overlooked you. His timing is perfect. And the dreams he has for your life, I believe, will come to be when we focus on him. God always looks on the heart, not on the outside appearance. Well, I suppose that's a challenge to every single one of us in this room. And thirdly, with God on our side, we can slay all giants. From sickness to illness to finances to depression to not having work or anything like that. But I suppose it would be a bit wrong of me to talk about these things if I didn't tell you about this God. Now, this God is an amazing person. We all know that, or many of us will know, that he sent his son Jesus down for us. And Jesus was just a man like, I say like you and I, men like you and I. He obviously wasn't a woman, that would have been strange. But he was a human like us all in this room. And he would have gone through the same trials, the same temptations as every single one of us in this room. But he never failed. He was not flawed. Jesus, this Son of God I'm talking to you about, did the most amazing miracles. He saw people raised from the dead. He saw the people who were sick healed. He turned water into wine. He did amazing things. He lived his life for God. When he hit about 33, he was arrested. And he went through horribleness for every single one of us. He was beaten up by soldiers. He was battered. He was bruised. He had a crown of thorns shoved upon his head. And the reason he went through all these horrible stuff was because he loves every single one of us in this room. You know, there's not one person in this room he does not love. There's not one person in this room that Jesus has not got a purpose and a plan for. So he went through all this. He was whipped and battered. And then he went to die upon the cross. He was stood upon this cross, and my father was in Israel, mother in Israel a few months ago, and they reckon that the cross would only have been a foot or two above the ground. So that when it would literally have been you staring into Jesus' eyes as he was dying upon that cross. When they would have put the stump into the ground, they reckon that his back would have been all dislocated, his shoulders would have been dislocated just through the sheer pain of him dropping that bit of wood into the hole. And Jesus was killed and died the most horrendous death for every single one of us in this room. The awesome thing is that that's not where the story ends. If that was where the story ended, then we probably wouldn't all be stood or sat in this room this morning. The exciting thing is that Jesus raised from the dead 3 days later. And the reason he rose from the dead was so that every single bad thing we've ever done in our life, which we may know as sin, so sin is things which aren't good and not pleasing to God, can and will be forgiven. When we choose as people to repent from the bad things we've done. Now, what does repent mean, some of you may ask? Repent is when we're walking in this direction and we're doing all the silly things. But we choose to turn around and go back to God and focus on him. When we choose to put Jesus as our Savior and as our King, our life can be totally changed. Every bad thing we've done and are going to do in the future can and will be forgiven. Now, I wish I could say that once you give your life to Jesus, your life is going to be a piece of cake. There's never going to be any struggles. There's never going to be any strifes. You're going to pass all your A-levels and degrees with flying colors. You're going to get every promotion you ever go for. No. That's not necessarily going to happen. It may happen to some of you, but not to all of you. But when you have Jesus in your life, when you go through tough times, you've always got someone to talk to. You come into a family of God, of people who will love you and treat you the same as everyone else. It would be a I was challenged many years ago that every single meeting I have the joy and honor of speaking that I should always give people the opportunity to receive Christ into their lives. You know, that's something I did 10 years ago. I mean, I could tell you of my story, how my father and mother are pastors. I grew up in the church for 16 years, and at the age of 16, I thought, not for me. I left church for 4 or 5 years and would just drink. I was working in the bank. I would drink a ridiculous amount and go partying 4 or 5 days a week. And then God came into my life at about the age of 21, 22 and totally transformed my life. It hasn't been easy. I've gone through tough times as much as everyone else has. But the Lord has provided me with a fantastic wife, a beautiful house, the best job I could ever want in all my life. In Wednesday, I'm going to my father for 2 weeks to Ethiopia and Uganda. You know, I am blessed, and that is because I have accepted Jesus into my life. There are tough times. I haven't got a car. I don't own my house, etc. So I'm not saying that everything in my life is easy, but I am blessed, and I would not choose to live a life without Jesus ever again in my whole entirety. In closing, I'd just like us all to stand, if that's okay. I just feel like I'm going to say a prayer, and if we feel comfortable, I'd just like you to repeat it after me. Is that cool? Even if it's not, because no one responded, we're going to do it, so that's fine. Now, I'm going to ask something even more daunting sometimes. I'm going to ask that we all close our eyes, and if we feel comfortable, just to hold our hands out in front of us like this. If you don't feel comfortable, that's totally fine. I don't want anyone not to feel comfortable. I'm going to pray a line, and then I'd like you to repeat it after me. Father God, I thank you that you sent your son Jesus to die upon the cross for me. Thank you, Father God, that after 3 days, you rose Jesus from the dead, and that every single sin I have in my life and I'm going to do in the future can and will be forgiven. This morning, I choose to give my life to you. I want to put you number one in my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. And then just as your eyes are closed and your hands are held out, I just want to ask if anyone in this room has said that for the first time this morning, and they mean it. I appreciate the honor of you repeating the prayer after me anyway. But if you said that for the first time this morning, and you mean it with all your heart, just as people's eyes are closed, I just ask that you wave your hand. Thank you. Thank you. You know, keep your eyes shut, everyone, for a minute, actually. Sorry, I don't want anyone to be embarrassed or anyone to feel silly or anything like that. You know, this morning, we're having a party with the baptisms, yeah? And it's going to be awesome. You know, just then, I saw 2 hands of people go up. Which means there's a party in heaven. Now, as our eyes are shut still, because sometimes, I don't know why, it's just easier when our eyes are shut. My good brother-in-law is a fantastic man who's a consolidation daddy. Consolidation means looking after. Now, this is where it gets a bit awkward. If you were those 2 people, and there may have been more, who raised your hand, I'm going to ask that you come to the front, but don't come to the front on your own, because that might be tough and embarrassing. I'm going to ask, if that was you who raised your hands, if you could just bring the person with you, whether it's a friend or a visitor or family or guest, if you could come to the front and just stand here, we just want to pray for you. If that's okay. We appreciate this. Yeah, perfect. If you, that's the awesome. You know, guys, there's a party in heaven tonight. This morning, I do quite a lot of talks in the evenings, hence tonight. And can I ask your name? Shannon and Kirsty. There is was a party in heaven this morning. Let's just give the glory.